Adonai Elohim, Abba Father. Adonai Elohim, Mighty God. Adonai Elohim, Prince of Peace, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Adonai Elohim, Great I Am. And Father, we stand before you in the name of Jesus, asking for your forgiveness, for your mercies, your grace, your continued counsel, correction, and direction. We ask for your healing and freedom and deliverance and loosing us from the entanglements and the bondages of this world, opening our eyes to see you, our ears to hear you, and our hearts to receive, repenting for everything that we've done that's offended you in thought, word, and deed, touching unclean things, coming in agreement with the voice of the stranger, trying to survive instead of surrender. Wash us with the blood and purge us with your presence. Fill us with your Spirit that we may be one with you and establish your image, likeness, and character and your kingdom in us and through us that you may be glorified. In Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. How many all in a battle? If you're not getting one. You know, the Bible tells us that we're in battle. We're in battle. Everybody's in a fight. We're in a spiritual fight. It's called spiritual warfare. But he's given us the sword of the Spirit. And so many times, we don't use it. We get caught up in the emotional arena. We get caught up in all in carnality and things of the flesh. And we lose sight that our fight is not physical, but it is spiritual. Then we try to fix everything in the flesh. We want to be the fixer-uppers, but it doesn't work. Then we find out we got to fix up the thing that we just messed up because we tried to fix it up. And we're constantly trying to fix ourselves up when we can't. We can't fix us. Has everybody got it? You can't fix your children. You can't fix your spouse. And you can't fix your pastor, sorry. Only God can fix us. But there is that place where God asks us to cooperate with Him so we can get fixed. You know, He paid the price for me and you to get fixed. He made everything available for us to get fixed and then maintain that maintenance after He fixes us. But one of the things that has to be maintained is the maintenance to be fixed. In other words, just like a car has got to get tuned up, got to get an oil change, got to get spark plugs replaced. There are things that we must maintain spiritually to maintain that running smooth. It doesn't mean you're not going to go over bumps in the road. It doesn't mean that there won't be detours. And it don't mean that there won't be dead ends. But it means that we'll maintain that smooth run no matter what. We won't be up and downers. We'll stand fast and endure everything that comes across our path. You know, the Word says that the ways of the path of the righteous are difficult and narrow. Welcome to the world. You know, everybody believes sometimes when they become a believer, everything is smooth. Sometimes it's a little bit more difficult at first, because we didn't realize how much garbage we carried and how deceived we were. But one of the things that the Holy Spirit begins to do is to expose things in our life so we can get rid of them. That's why you have a sword. It's not to engrave your initials in trees. It's to sever loose of the things that we've been entangled with. It says, do what? Sever loose the things that we've been entangled with. And that's one of the things that the Spirit is sharing with us today. Would you grab your swords and turn to Timothy, the book of Timothy, 2 Timothy. Hallelujah. It's another beautiful day to hear the pages turning on a Sunday morning. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, in verse 1, let's read this together. You therefore, my son. Oh, isn't it wonderful he calls you son? Be what? Be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Now, what does grace mean? It's the plan of God. Grace is the plan of God. Jesus came in the fullness of grace and truth. In other words, he came with a plan. Grace doesn't mean you can go out and do evil and expect to make it home safely. You got to repent. Hello. Grace does not give you a legal right to have fellowship with the devil. Grace is the plan of God that has been granted to me and you to escape the deception of the devil and to escape the wrath of God. So he says, you therefore, my son, be strong in the grace. In other words, be strong in the plan of God. That is in Christ Jesus. And the things that you have heard from me among many witnesses, commit these to who? Faithful men who will be able to teach others also. In other words, commit the plan of God to others so that they can teach others. You therefore must what? Endure. Endure. Go forward. Press. Fight. Wait. Die. You therefore must endure hardship as a what? Good soldier of Jesus Christ. Now here's the kicker. No one engaged in warfare. How many of y'all engaged in warfare? If you're not, you need to be. If you're not in the battle, you will become a casualty. No one engaged in warfare entangles himself with the affairs of this life that he may please him who enlisted him as a what? As a soldier. So, in other words, he says, listen, you cannot, if you are engaged in warfare, you can't entangle yourself in the affairs of this life. Because if you entangle yourself in the affairs of this life, your warfare will be disqualified. Verse 5. And also, if anyone competes in athletics, he is not crowned unless he competes according to the rules. So there are rules of engagement. The hardworking farmer must be first to partake of the crops. Consider what I say, and may the Lord give you what? Understanding in all things. Engage in spiritual warfare is only effective if you are not entangled in the affairs of the world. In other words, the world's life or the life of this world. And in this, it's like the word entanglement. And when the Spirit began to bring this to me, I used to be in the military, and when I was in the Navy and jumping out of helicopters and stuff like that, one of the things that we always had to be careful of is when a pilot ejected. I used to fly search and rescue, and we had to always be careful that when a pilot ejected from a plane, that when we went into water to go get him, his parachute, see, when a parachute gets wet, it becomes an anchor. And what happens is it will look like it's floating for a while, and it may have a bubble, but when the whole thing gets wet, it begins to sink. And what happens is, a pilot, if he's not instructed correctly, will begin to pull a knife out and begin to cut the lines that are attached to the parachute. And what actually happens is, every line that he cuts, it re-entangles him. And eventually, he will go down with that chute unless he untangles himself. So when you are entangled in the affairs of the world, the only thing that you can do is sever these things from you. If you maintain entanglement of the world, it will sink you. See, there are ways of disentangling yourself. A pilot has two clips that he can do automatically. He pushes two clips and the chute comes off. But if he's entangled, he must remove those entanglements from him, but not cut them. You understand that? But in the spirit realm, there is a way, there's a rule of engagement in warfare where you are able to sever these things without being re-entangled again. And that's according to the rules of engagement. So in other words, your spiritual engagement, if you're engaged in warfare, in other words, if you're not in warfare, if you're not one who's engaged in warfare, you'll become a casualty. Because the enemy will eventually take you out. And that's why many people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Many people do not know how to fight. They've been brought up in churches most of their life. And they go to church, they pay their little $1.25 a week. they hold back their tithes. You know, they go to church and they get the whole family together on Christmas and Easter and every other whatever day. And then they go home and they go back to their same old lives again. That is not Christianity. Christ-like is Christianity. It says, come out from among them. Do not be unevenly yoked. Don't be yoked with them. Come out from among them. Be separate. Don't touch what's unclean. Follow. Deny yourself. Pick up your cross. All of these areas. You know, Timothy was involved in engagement of warfare. Paul had trained Timothy. Timothy was considered a faithful man. And Timothy began to train others in engagement of warfare. You cannot, listen, nothing comes without a fight. You must fight for everything. Jesus had to fight, didn't he? He had to engage in warfare just to die. So he could pay the price for me and you. And that price that was paid for me and you allowed me and you access to everything. Access. That's what was granted. Access. Just because you accept Jesus as Savior and Lord doesn't mean you're free. Hello. There is a process of freedom. Freedom is learned. Or else your enemy will constantly re-entangle you in the engagements and affairs of this world. And there'll be limitations placed on your life, and you'll be in the cycle all the time when you get to a place and go back right to where you were again. Back to sin. You always end up back to sin if you are entangled in the affairs of this world. 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2. Is everybody there? Verse 15, what does it say? Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Wow. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world is passing away in the lust of it, but he who does the will of God abides forever. Only he who does the will of God abides forever. Little children, it is the last hour. And as you have heard that the Antichrist is coming, even now many Antichrists have come, by which we know that it is the last hour. They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would have continued with us. But they went out that they might be made manifest that none of them were of us. Now why did they go out from us? Because they were what? Entangled in the what? Affairs of this world or in affairs of this life. Now, that means worldly concerns. These are called carnal entanglements. Carnal entanglements, which is associated with selfish mindsets. Carnal entanglements are associated with selfish mindsets. Everyone say selfish mindsets. Go to Matthew 13. In other words, you're going to do what you want to do, man. Entanglements are carnal entanglements. These are selfish mindsets. Matthew 13, in verse 22. Let's read it together. Now he who receives seed among the thorns is he who hears the word and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and it becomes what? Unfruitful. Unfruitful. Now, the cares of this world are carnal entanglements. They are selfish mindsets. They are associated with deception, with selfish indulgence, which choke the true way of godly living. It also chokes the purpose that has been imparted in us to fulfill the will of God. In other words, a person can no longer produce fruit that brings life. They produce fruit that brings death. And it also brings bondage. So in this, we begin to, that's why the word tells us that we are to judge ourselves. We are to examine ourselves. We want to see what kind of fruit is being produced. What kind of tree are you? Are you associated with the tree of life or the tree of death? One is going to produce life and one is going to produce death. But those who are entangled in the affairs of this world as so-called soldiers cannot warfare correctly. They'll find themselves losing the battles because they are entangled. They are carnally entangled because they have selfish mindsets. Me, myself, and I. That's also associated with control. Some people have a hard time giving up control. In other words, there's a thing called self-control. Well, the word self-control should mean that you have control over self, not self has control over you. You have to have control over self. Why? Because if you don't have control over self, you will produce fruits of selfish ambitions, entangle yourself in the affairs of the world, and its end result is bondage and death. So we must begin to discern these selfish ambitions or entanglements, selfish mindsets that have been established in us that want to produce themselves. Go to Luke 21. Luke 21. Verse 34. Luke 21, verse 34. Take what? Heed to yourselves, lest your hearts be weighed down with carousing, drunkenness, and cares of this life. And the day come on you, what? Unexpectedly. Whoa. For it will come as a snare on all those who dwell on the face of the whole earth. Watch therefore and pray always. Do what? Pray always that you may be counted worthy to escape all these things which will come to pass and stand before the Son of God. Wow. So in this, we see that we are to take heed, aren't we? In other words, listen and see or watch what fruits are being produced in our life. What selfish mindsets are producing them? Or the enemy will put you in a place to be taken out of position. And I'm talking spiritually and then physically. His purpose, remember the Bible says that the devil comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Selfish mindsets will produce death. They never produce life. Now, the world tries to medicate selfish mindsets. In this, it is important to understand that these selfish mindsets that produce death, the enemy always wants to get you into a place of position where he can spiritually get you in bondage and attack you, and then physically. In other words, you may be in a position but not be in spiritual position. Has everybody got that? You may be in a position, but not be in spiritual position. And in so, the enemy is going to try to use you and duplicate you. And he'll duplicate you by using you to duplicate somebody else. Has everybody got that? In other words, he'll use you to impart things to somebody else according to traditions of men, according to selfish ambitions or mindsets. Go to 1 Peter chapter 5. Now, the world tries to medicate these things. They call it bipolar, schizophrenia. They call it all kinds of stuff. And they say, here, take a pill. And what it just does is it demobilizes the actions, the responses to the flesh, and the person becomes a zombie. And they become medicated. In fact, what we try to do, because of the guilt and condemnation that comes from the enemy, we try to medicate ourselves or indulge ourselves in the things of the world to try and cover it up. You know, most people don't realize that in addiction, in any way whatsoever, whether it's drugs or alcohol or food or lust or pornography or gambling or whatever it is, that's just the flower. It's not the root. Yeah, it's just a manifestation of something wrong. See, you can cut the flower off, but you can never fix it. You must go to the root, to where it's severed. But the world doesn't know how to do that because the world only deals with what they see and not what they don't see. Go to 1 Peter 5, please. Carnal entanglements are called selfish what? Mindsets. In 1 Peter 5:5, likewise, you younger people, submit yourselves to your elders. Yes, all of you, be submissive to one another and be clothed with humility. For God does what? Resist the proud. Now, we know that pride protects self, doesn't it? Pride protects self. Fear protects pride. Anger protects fear. And lying protects anger. It says, God resists the proud but gives what? Grace to the humble. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. Now, there's something I want to share with you. Casting your care upon the Lord is required, isn't it? But it is not the cure. It isn't the cure. It's a temporary. So you cast your care on the Lord, right? But did you ever notice that you come through that same thing keeps coming back? So you keep casting your care on the Lord, but you're not cured until you go to the root of it. When you go to the root of it, those things just bounce off of you. Because the reason why you have to cast your care on the Lord is because you picked it up. Hello? Because you did what? You picked it up. So casting your care on the Lord is a care that you picked up, a burden or something, you've come in agreement with the enemy. And now you try to cast it on the Lord. And the Lord's willing to accept it, but it doesn't cure you. You are not cured until you are severed from its root. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all of your care upon him, for he cares for you. It says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may what? Devour. So he's looking for someone that is entangled in the affairs of this world. He's looking for someone that has carnal entanglements, or what we call selfish mindsets. It's about me. It's all about me. Hello. These are yokes and bondages and entanglements in the affairs of this world. These are selfish mindsets that must be exposed, rooted out, severed from your soul and spirit. Encouraging dominion over self and fleshly mindsets. Is everybody with me? We must be encouraged. When these things are entangled in our life, people become oppressed. They become oppressed. So they look for a pill. They look for a relief. They look towards the world. They run from God instead of to God. You know, everybody looks for a quick fix. Well, the only quick fix you're going to get is to first cast your care on the Lord and then go to the root and sever these things. You know, when we cry out for help, God always sends us to a place to learn, because freedom is learned. But, you know, self is going to always want to run. It runs away from the presence of God, not to the presence of God. Go to Philippians 2. Everybody okay? Are you getting this? Philippians chapter 2 and verse 1. Therefore, if there is any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and mercy, fulfill my joy by being like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord and of one mind. Let nothing be done through what? Selfish ambitions or what? Conceit. But in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than him. Why? Because it begins to release yourself from selfish mindsets. Let each of you look out not only for your own interests, but also for the interests of others. In other words, let God build the house. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men. And being found in the appearance of a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of what? Death. Even the death of the cross. Now, I want to reiterate again in the area where we first started this, in the area where Paul wrote a letter to Timothy telling him the importance as an individual being in spiritual warfare not to entangle himself in the affairs of this world and selfish mindsets. Why? Because a soldier that fights to survive for his life is weak. But a soldier that fights to surrender his life is strong. I would rather fight with someone that isn't trying to keep his life. Are you listening? Because he's not afraid to die. That soldier will be more alert. He won't be so concerned about protecting himself. Are you listening? So that when you ask someone to cover you, he's going to cover you, not concerned in his own life. But a soldier that is still fighting for his life is going to be more concerned on his own life and not cover you. So please understand this, and that's what selfish mindsets do. Individuals, God can't trust people with selfish mindsets because they're more concerned about themselves and fulfillment of self than the will of God. Again, a soldier that fights to survive for his life is weak. He's a fear of losing his life. But a soldier that fights to surrender his life is strong, but he has no fear of losing his life. He's already lost it. Oh, hallelujah. That's what separates soldiers in Christ. Those who are willing to be and those who will want to be are two different things. So the purpose of selfish mindsets is to keep self alive. Does everybody understand that? Selfish ambitions and conceit, it's pridefulness associated with carnal entanglements or selfish mindsets. The purpose of individuals in maintaining selfish mindsets is to keep self alive. And self is the offspring of darkness, isn't it? We are a new creation in Christ. All things have passed away. That means that the self spirit, which is still in me and you, we cannot allow it to have dominion over us. We must take dominion over self. Hebrews chapter 3. Selfish mindsets are called carnal entanglements. Carnal entanglements. Oh, yes. Hebrews chapter 3, verse 12. Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 12. Let's read it together. Beware, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart from unbelief in departing from the living God, but exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. For we have become partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast to the what? End. While it is said, today, if you will hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as in what? Rebellion. Now, rebellion doesn't rebel. You know, when people say, oh, you're rebellious. Well, they're really not rebellion against the world. They're actually rebellion against divine order. They're rebellion against divine order. Now, physical and spiritual because of selfish mindsets. So rebellion is produced because of selfish mindsets. You know, the Ten Commandments exposes selfish mindsets. How about covetousness? Is that a selfish mindset? Actually, that is sin. The Ten Commandments expose sin. Somebody got it. They expose selfish mindsets. So individuals don't rebel against the world. They rebel against divine order because God has established everything in divine order, even the world. Hello? Go to Romans 6. Remember, the world is nothing but a training ground. Romans chapter 6. In verse 7, Romans 6, 7, would you read it with me? For he who has died has been freed from what? Now sin is known as the presence of evil. Who's the ruler of this earth? Satan. So there's presence of evil everywhere. He's called the prince of power of air, isn't he? For he who has died has been freed from sin. In other words, he who has died to self has been freed from sin. For if we died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, dies no more. Death no longer has dominion over him. For the death that he died to sin once for all, but the life that he lives to God. In other words, when you die to self, selfish mindsets no longer have dominion over you. I didn't say they wouldn't come. I said they wouldn't have dominion over you. You wouldn't obey them. Is everybody okay? Let's go a little further. Verse 11. Likewise, you also what? Reckon yourselves to be what? Dead indeed to what? Sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord. In other words, reckon yourself to be dead to yourself. In other words, you acknowledge. Acknowledge it. I am dead to myself. In other words, if you can't acknowledge selfish ambitions, how can you, or selfish mindsets, how can you be dead to them? So we're to take heed. We're to acknowledge. We're to reckon ourselves to be dead. So when they come, it's like, no, you don't have dominion over me. I'm dead to that. Therefore, do not let what? Sin what? Reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in its what? Lust. Why? Because selfish mindsets are always producing lust. They produce covetousness. They produce rebellion. Self-preservation. In verse 13, do not present your members as instruments of unrighteousness to sin, but present yourselves to God as being alive from the what? Dead. And your members as instruments of righteousness to God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under the law, but under what? Grace. In other words, you're not under the commandments. You're not under the law of sin and death. You are under the plan of God now, which is giving you dominion. Reckon to be dead to sin. Acknowledge your death to this world. Sin is the presence of evil. By cutting loose carnal integuments or selfish mindsets, it releases us from the law of sin and death and restores us to the grace or the plan of God, his plan of escape. 2 Corinthians 4. In verse 16, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 16, therefore we do not lose heart, even though our outward man is dying, perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory, while we don't look at the things which are what? Seen! But at the things which are not seen. Yes. See, but you're going to know the things that are not seen by their fruit, aren't you? It's our responsibility to make what is unseen to become seen. Because if you don't, you'll always be deceived. This is not soulish. This is spiritual. This is not fleshly. It is spiritual. For the things which are seen are what? Temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Don't lose heart. Don't be discouraged. Maintain your fight. And make those fruits be acknowledged to you so you can see these things. Don't just be lazy and compromised. Don't stick it under the rug because you can't. Don't medicate it. And don't take care of it later. Take care of it now. 2 Timothy 4. Selfish mindsets. You know, when individuals have selfish mindsets, priorities are not in order. Everything is associated with self-entertainment.
I need to be entertained.
You know? And in that, it brings temporary fulfillment. And many times, that's just the same thing as addiction. Why? Because they're not willing to have these mindsets, these selfish mindsets, exposed. Does everybody understand this? It is important that we begin to expose these selfish mindsets, because and go right to the root and sever these things. Every one of us here has selfish mindsets that need to be severed. It's something that you want more than what God wants. Now, you may use the excuse that God wants it, but God makes things happen. Hello? He provides what needs to be done. That's why many people move out of time and out of position because of selfish mindsets. That's called anxiousness, too. It's also called fear. 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 1. Let's read it together, please. I charge you, therefore, before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word, be ready in season and out of season, convince, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and teaching. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, and according to their own desires, in other words, selfish mindsets or ambitions, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers who will cooperate with what they believe. They will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to what? Fables. But you be what? Watchful in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist. Yes. And what? Fulfill your ministry. Does everybody see that? And do what? Fulfill your ministry. Your first part of ministry is to sever yourself from selfish mindsets. Because your selfish mindsets will always prevent you from being free and from going forward. They'll put limitations and cause you to go in cycles. Go to Psalm 1. It is our commission to carry out and expose the removal of evil presence in our lives and in every area of our life. In Psalm 1, verse 1, what's it say? Blessed. Blessed is the man who what? Walks not in the counsel of the ungodly. So would you consider selfish mindsets the counsel of ungodly? Yes. It's all about me. Nor stands in the path of sinners. Nor sits in the seat of the scornful. In other words, when an individual has selfish mindsets, he not only begins to speak them, but he begins to ensnare others in their beliefs. In verse 2, but his delight is in the what? Law of the Lord. And in his law he meditates. He acknowledges. He seeks out. He thinks about. He sets his mind in a different arena. In verse 3, and he shall be like a what? Tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its seasons, whose leaf also shall not wither. And whatever he does shall what? Prosper. Go forward. Be free. The greatest thing that we can prosper in is in the revelation of Christ. And he brings impartations to each and every one of us if we're seeking, if we're willing to listen, if we're willing to wait, if we're willing to endure. You know, the first thing that God gives everybody is a testimony. He gives us a testimony of what he's done for us. But a testimony isn't any good if you're not walking upright. A testimony isn't any good if you're not warfaring, if you're not victorious, if you don't overcome. What good is a testimony if you can't overcome? Is everybody okay? In other words, God has given us a testimony in victory. That victory testimony is important. But if we have selfish mindsets, it will nullify that testimony, won't it? So we need to go to the root of these areas and sever these selfish mindsets. Check the fruits out where they are. You'll see the fruits around us, right? You'll see how it comes out of your mouth. You'll see how your responses are or how your reactions are. You'll see what's coming. First, are you in divine order with God? Is God first and not your family? Hello? See, selfish mindsets always move an individual out of divine order. Because it puts the person first before the will of God. Remember, God's will is you and God, nothing else. Everything else will fall into place if you're doing the will of God. That doesn't mean that you don't love your family. Don't, you know, hello? And I'm not telling people to leave their husbands and wives. But what I'm sharing with you is everything, everything that Jesus did always had to do with divine order. Everything. He did not have selfish mindsets. In fact, his whole purpose was to fulfill the will of God. That's why he came to die for me and you. Now, he paid the price for me and you so that we can carry out that death. The death to self. In every area. See, he already did the victory. Everything is set, established for me and you. Now we got to learn his ways to have the victory in everything. He's made access for me and you for everything that we need to fulfill the will of God, to be overcomers, to be more than conquerors, and to carry the truth to a world in need. But everybody has the power to choose. You have the power to say yes, Lord, or no, Lord. Whatever one you want to choose is the one you'll become a slave to. Anyone entangled in the affairs of this world who tries to become a soldier will become a casualty until you are severed from these things. And the process has already started. Let God continue to expose our mindsets, these selfish mindsets, whatever they may be, so that we can go forward and bring glory to his name. Amen. Father, we thank you for your word this morning. We are honored and blessed. And Lord, we repent for not acknowledging these things in our life. We ask for your forgiveness of trying to stuff them under the rug and not exposing them. Or being lazy and say, we'll take care of it later. Or expecting someone else to take care of it. But Lord, you've given us the commission to take care of it. So Father, we just take care of it right now in the name of Jesus. And we repent. And we ask, Father, that you would give us the strength and the power to continue to see these fruits, that we can go to the roots and sever these from our life. That there wouldn't be any more selfish ambitions or mindsets, but the mind of Christ would have dominion in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen.